Hi, I'm Deborah Lynn Dadd, and this is Toxic Free Talk Radio, where we talk about how to thrive in a toxic world. And we do this show because there are lots of toxic chemicals out in the world, and we don't have to be victims of them. We don't have to be made sick by them. We don't have to have our children have birth defects from them or any of those things if we know where to identify them and to reduce them as much as we possibly can. We may not be able to reduce all of our toxic exposures 100%, but I and many others have found that if we do what we can, it's sufficient to make a huge difference in your health and happiness and well-being. So today we're going to talk with Annie Berthold Bond. Annie B. Bond. I've known her for so long. It's habit to say what her name used to be when I met her. Annie B. Bond, who is the author of many books and websites about non-toxic living. Her first book, Clean and Green, was many, many years ago. And I shouldn't make it sound like she's so old or something.
I sort of am. That's okay.
But I am too. Better Basics for the Home, Home Enlightenment, True Food. She has for many years had columns on websites and is currently the editor-in-chief of the Wellness Wire and has a wonderful website of toxic-free products that she's chosen called A True Find. And you can also go to her own personal website, AnnieBBond.com, to find out more about her. Hi, Annie.
Hi. I'm still not too old to talk well, so it's okay.
Well, this is what toxic free living does. Is, you know, you and I have lived without chemicals for so many years. We're just ageless.
Oh, there you go. That sounds good. Tell that to my gray hair.
So anyway, Annie, I know you've been on the show before, but we're always having new listeners. So just tell us a little bit about your background and how you got to do what you do.
Sure, I'd be happy to. My background's fairly similar to yours, just with a little bit of different, aspects to it. I worked at a restaurant in 1980 that had a gas leak, and I was told at the time that I had permanent central nervous system damage, and then I lived in an apartment building that had, was exterminated with a pesticide that's been taken off the market because it was so neurotoxic. And I got very, very, very sick. I was in the hospital for 3 months. I basically had a classic case of organophosphate pesticide poisoning, and I became, allergic to the, at that time, the 20th century, and I just was I was a bubble case. I needed to live without chemicals, and so I had a sort of an unerring drive to have fresh air, and so I moved 10 times in 4 years, finally found a place that was healthy, and in the process I learned a huge amount about how to live without chemicals in our world, and it's a difficult thing to do, and so I decided to start a clearinghouse of information to help provide information for people to have a less toxic lifestyle themselves. And of course, the first person I stumbled on when I started doing my research was Deborah Lynn Dadd.
Yes.
I was very inspired by your work.
Back in 1978.
Yeah. So there you are. You know, that's really, and then I've been in the field pretty much ever since then, mm-hmm. and have really, you know, it's one of those greatest pain is the greatest gift kind of stories that just, who would have ever thought I would write a book on non-toxic cleaning, because I don't like to clean or anything, but I have loved being part of the green movement. It's just been a fabulous honor and gift, really. So
me too. I totally understand and agree. And as difficult as it was to go through my own experience with being poisoned by my home, I would say that I've recovered and learned a lot, and it was actually the greatest blessing that I've had in my life, because it made me aware of where the toxic chemicals are so that I wouldn't get sicker from them. And so actually at my age now today, I am healthier than I've ever been, because it's been a process of eliminating those things that are making everybody sick. So it really is, from a health standpoint, I think that the current paradigm today is that people just do whatever it is that our industrial chemical society tells them to do, advertises and sells in the products. And then they get sick and they take drugs and they have surgeries and stuff. And I've taken a different approach, which is to say that my body naturally exists to be healthy. And as long as I don't do the things that destroy its health and do the things that support its health, I'll be healthy. And so far that's been true. So I think you have
I wanted to say that I've also recovered in terms of my multiple chemical sensitivity. It is really true that you can lead a normal life, and it's not a sentence of isolation. I mean, I've traveled all over the world since I have been living in a healthy home, and it's just an incredible, as long as you have a place to come home and rejuvenate, you can really, you just really do heal. I mean, there's no question about it. So
I completely agree. And so anybody who's having any kind of chemical problem with their bodies at this point in time, here are two examples of people, Annie and I, who cleaned up our homes, cleaned up our bodies, and now live what we each call a normal life, with the caveat that we have a healthy home. And that's how much difference it makes, because we can go out in the world, be exposed to toxic chemicals, and come home to our non-toxic homes and maintain our health. And
it's so true.
I mean, we're two living examples of this. Yeah. And we've been doing it for 30 years. So
yeah,
it's not like we just have done it yesterday. We've been continually doing this for 30 years. So,
well, not only
I just realized that between us, we've been doing this for 60 years.
Oh my gosh. Well, and the thing is, we survived without the big commercial cleaning products. Imagine that. We don't live in, you know, we live in clean homes. So, you know, it's really amazing that all you have to do is decide not to live with that kind of thing, and then you can just do it. You know, it's just as simple as that.
Yeah, it actually is that simple. So what are you having for Thanksgiving dinner?
Well, I have a range of people here, and I have a vegetarian clan, part of my family, and a non-vegetarian clan. And so we're certainly having a organic turkey for those who want the turkey, and then that's raised on a local farm. And then we have a tradition where we have this beautiful, big, organic pumpkin that we stuff with all sorts of wonderful things for those who are the vegetarians. So it's a very festive dish for them.
How wonderful. I should say that.
Yeah, really
Annie
nice. How about you?
Upstate New York, where there's lots of wonderful food to eat and local places to buy it from. What
yeah,
am
really
I having? I don't know yet, because I'm actually all by myself this Thanksgiving. And
oh dear, I wish you could come over to serve a flight.
I wish I could.
Yeah.
Well, I have invitations, but people say to me, well, you're welcome to come to our Thanksgiving dinner, which is out of a can and not organic. And so I have my choice of a non-organic Thanksgiving and a raw Thanksgiving. And, but, you know, I was just thinking about, like, what are some things that I could make at home for myself that are festive without roasting a whole turkey and eating it all the way till Christmas, just being one person. And a couple things that I thought of were, once a long time ago, I saw a recipe for making a turkey stew for Thanksgiving, and I cut out that recipe and I made it. It was absolutely delicious, and then served it with little biscuits that had parsley and different herbs in it. And I thought,
oh, that sounds very nice. Yeah.
Yeah, it was very nice. And I also have had some ideas about having turkey meatloaf with, I don't know, and I've seen a couple of different recipes.
Yeah,
one with it like a cranberry compote on top instead of ketchup, and another one with a tomato fig ketchup on top. I thought
that
would be
very good.
That sounds
divine. Yeah, that sounds really good. And let me just interject that the pumpkin recipe that we use is from NPR. That was we heard a while ago, and you just search for stuffed pumpkin on NPR, and it'll come up.
Oh, I'm going to eat that. We need to take a break, but when we come back, we're going to start talking about how to clean up after your holiday party. My guest today is Annie B. Bond. I'm Deborah Lynn Dadd, and this is Toxic Free Talk Radio. You're listening to Toxic Free Talk Radio. I'm Deborah Lynn Dadd, and my guest today is Annie B. Bond, author of many books on how to take care of your home without toxic chemicals. And before we go back to Annie, I just wanted to mention that last week I started a food blog about eating whole, organic, fresh, seasonal, local foods and preparing them in easy, simple, delicious ways. And I have some Thanksgiving recipes there, including how to make gluten-free cornbread that's really yummy. And I have a whole little ebook with 7 recipes for making cranberry sauce, relish, etc., with natural sweeteners and fresh fruits. So, and they have infinite variations. So, in case you didn't know this, the top-selling brand of cranberry sauce is made with high-fructose corn syrup in a can with bisphenol A and, of course, pesticides on the cranberries. I make mine with organic cranberries. So just go over, go to my website, go to toxicfreetalkradio.com, go up to the menu on the top where it says food, click on that, and scroll down until you see the cranberry, little cranberry book, and that is free. So get it, pass it around to your friends, and have a great Thanksgiving. Okay, Annie. So I actually put on the title for today, Cleaning for Your Holiday Party, Before and After. So before we talk about the cleanup stuff, do you want to talk about what to do before the party?
Sure, I'd be happy to. And I had my mind all focused on red wine spills and candle wax, but I would be delighted to talk about it's a great opportunity to make sure that your house is as healthy as it is for Thanksgiving. So, doing green cleaning, I think, is a great choice. Even something as simple as polishing the dining room table could just make the entire room neurotoxic because most of the fumes from furniture oil polish, they're petroleum distillates, and there are lots of great ways to do the same thing without using chemicals. And so I'm, as you could imagine on the show, a huge proponent for green cleaning, and I think that it's a big topic, Deborah. Where would you suggest we start talking about cleaning?
I think that you started in exactly the right place. I'd like to explain what a petroleum distillate is, because I'm sure most people listening don't know. So petroleum distillates, let's see, how can I start this? Where they come from is from petroleum in the ground, okay, like crude oil. And then what happens to the crude oil is that they take it to a refinery and they crack it, they split it. And so you have like portions of this that are solvents. They're called solvents, and they're thin, and they evaporate, and they're clear, and there's a whole kind of there's a whole classification of them. And they're called petroleum distillates because they're distilling petroleum. You know, it's like when you distill water, that you have a bunch of water, and then you distill it, and the vapors come off and then recondense into water. That's distilled water. Well, that's what happens with petroleum distillates. It's those very light, airy things that come off the boiling of petroleum and then recondense into these things called petroleum distillates. All of them are toxic. All of them are very toxic. But you never will know. If you see petroleum distillates on the label, you never will know exactly what the toxic chemical is, because they just take whatever are the cheapest leftover, can't be sold toxic petroleum distillates that are available at the moment and throw them into a barrel and call them petroleum distillates. So if you see that on the label, that's what that is.
Well, that's a great explanation. I'd never heard all those details, so I'm delighted to. And they are solvents. I try to avoid any chemical solvents in my house at all, because that includes even dry cleaning. I won't dry clean my clothes because of solvents. And they're just outgas large amounts of fumes, and it's really tragic with dry cleaning, because most people hang their dry cleaning in their bedroom and they breathe the fumes all night long.
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
This would be a great starting point for this, the whole holiday season would be to not use products with petroleum distillates or solvents of any kind. And one thing you could do is you look at, the government puts what they call signal words on products, and it'll say flammable, and most of the products with solvents in them will say flammable, and so avoid and just say no, won't use those anymore. So one thing that I've found, all the folk formulas for polishing furniture, and this is basically to clean the furniture, not actually putting a polish on, recommend using a pretty hefty amount of whatever oil you have on hand, and then a little bit of vinegar. And I tested that in every way, and I find that it was way too oily for me. And the formula that I love for cleaning the furniture, wooden furniture, is actually all vinegar with just a few drops of oil, because you give enough of the oil to lubricate the vinegar, the wood, and not dry the wood out. But the vinegar is an amazing, pulls dirt out like no other. It just is fantastic for that. And so if you happen to...
Does that work on a table that already has wax on it?
It works very well for cleaning off, and so you're not going to want to pour it on. You're going to want to go along with a cloth. I find it to be extremely good. I do have a lot of folk formulas for how to make your own polish and things like that. They require making beeswax and using beeswax and things. But this is just a great way to clean wood. This is what I use in my own house. And I had a bad experience trying the other formula where it was mostly oil. It was during August, and I was cleaning the something at my father's house way back when, and it all turned rancid, and it was like a big job to clean that off. So this is a good thing to do instead. And if you have a jojoba oil around, it's actually a liquid wax, and that's a perfect. A few drops of that with the vinegar actually is a perfect solution for
relubricating
the wood.
Oh, that sounds really good.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'd like to say, we have to go to break in a second, but I want to say that I have eliminated the whole problem of wax on tables by purchasing unfinished wood tables and then putting a non-toxic wood finish on it that you can then, wipe just with soap and water, and I don't even have to worry about all that wax stuff, and that's worked really well for me. So we'll be back after this break. I'm Deborah Lynn Dadd. You're listening to Toxic Free Talk Radio, and my guest is Annie B. Bond. We'll be right back. You're listening to Toxic Free Talk Radio. I'm Deborah Lynn Dadd, and my guest today is Annie B. Bond, who is the author of many books, including Cleaning Green, Better Basing for the Home, and Home Enlightenment, that all talk about how to live a wonderful life in a non-toxic home, how to take care of your home, how to enjoy your home. One other thing I thought during the break, Annie, that is, I think, an important pre-party thing to mention in terms of toxic exposure is air fresheners.
Oh my gosh, what a good idea.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Oh,
because I think that it's very common to think, oh, people are coming over, I better make everything smell good, and out comes the air freshener spray. And the thing that I would suggest instead of those toxic air fresheners, because, the air fresheners, they have chemicals in them that actually deaden your sense of smell. So they're not removing the smell, but they're impairing your ability, your sensory experience. And that's the last thing that you want on Thanksgiving or Christmas or any other holiday, is to not be able to smell the wonderful food or the pine tree or whatever. So you want to have your sense of smell intact. But the one thing that I really like to do is to take, especially in the wintertime, is to just take a pot of water or apple juice or whatever, and you could make something wonderful to drink, like mulled cider makes your house smell divine. Or if you just want to have a fragrance, you can put a pot of water with natural herbs in it of any sort, and it'll just give a lovely smell. And, of course, your turkey is going to smell wonderful, too.
Well, it's so interesting you said that, because I went through this myself yesterday, because I have new neighbors. I live on a dirt road, and new neighbors moved in this year, and I thought it would be nice for us all to meet each other, so I had a, and because I was getting the house all ready for Thanksgiving, I thought it was a perfect time for me to have a party for everybody. And I have two puppies this year, and so I had to roll my rugs up, but, you know, I won't even go there, but I was concerned about sort of residual odor in the house. And after I rolled the rugs back out for the party, et cetera, and I did that. I made hot cider, and I put a lot of cinnamon in it, and that was really just, it was a smell that everybody walked in and was like, oh, my gosh, it smells so wonderful in here. And yeah. That was exactly my intention, was to have everybody be focused on the cinnamon smell from the cider than you know, any residue from the dogs on the rugs, you know what I mean? So, which I had worked hard on, you know, that I, with all my tricks. So I was pretty sure they were great, but my smell, I don't smell as well as some people still sometimes. And I just mm-hmm. thought, oh my, or some people have unbelievable noses. And I thought, oh my gosh, what if one of those types of people comes in, you know? And this worked really well.
Good. Okay. So let's talk about after the party now. How about how to clean red wine stains off the linen tablecloth?
Well, it's an amazing thing. I was at a dinner party one time, and somebody spilled their red wine all over the linen tablecloth. And this woman literally, and I'm not suggesting anybody do this because it sort of took my breath away, but she had everybody take all of the plates and put them on the floor. She whisked the linen tablecloth off, rushed into the kitchen, boiled water, stood on a chair, stretched the linen tablecloth over a bowl in the sink, and poured water from 3 feet, boiling water down from 3 feet above the linen tablecloth onto the red wine stain. And all of us were, you know, gathered in the kitchen watching this thing, and it absolutely worked. And I have seen that as a solution show up in old formula books from, you know, all over the place, and it truly works. I don't think you need to, and I know you don't need to do what she did, which is just have everybody, like, have their entire meal disrupted and you know, take the tablecloth off in the middle of the meal, because I've had it work otherwise. But there's something about the pouring of the water from a height down onto the linen that actually really, really works. Another thing I've heard and read, I haven't done it myself, but I have, it makes some sense, is that you pour white wine, you pull, once everybody's left and you bring the linen into a sink and you once again stretch it over a bowl or something, you pour white wine onto the red wine, and the acidity of the white wine will sort of work away. And I would think maybe straight vinegar would just work as well. White vinegar could work as well. But those are pretty simple solutions. Strange ones, they may be, but they do work. So,
I was once having lunch with my literary agent and a book editor, in a very nice restaurant, and I had a dessert that had like a ball of ice cream sitting in this pool of chocolate, and it slipped. As I dug into the ice cream, it slipped.
Oh,
and
my.
I had chocolate all over the front of my dress. And my literary agent, who was just a wonderful woman who knew all the things that mothers and homemakers should know, she immediately ordered a bottle of club soda and doused my dress with club soda. And, you know, that chocolate did not stain. It just came right out.
Well, that's interesting. Yeah, that's very interesting, because chocolate has protein in it as well. And talking about protein stains, which there often are a lot in the club soda is a standby, so that's great that you bring that up. In researching my book Home Enlightenment, I wanted to sort of take a new look on stains, because I had done a lot of work on stains for Better Basics for the Home, and I just wanted to feel like I had some more areas covered. And I really started researching about digestive enzymes and protein stains. So if you spill coffee that had milk in it, it's often not the getting the coffee out, it's the combination of the protein and the milk that can be a part of the problem. Or, mm-hmm. and this is definitely going to be true with linen tablecloths during the holidays, is that you very often will get a protein stain. And so what I suggest people do is they go to a health food store and they buy digestive enzyme tablets, and you go home and you just grind it up and make it into a paste, and then dampen the area that has the protein stain, and then put the wet paste of the digestive enzymes onto that area and let it set overnight and then rinse it and wash it. And it's remarkable how the digestive enzymes will actually eat up the protein.
So when you said enzymes, I thought of like enzyme cleaners, but you're talking about digestive enzymes like you would take to digest.
Yeah, a remedy. That's right. The digestive enzyme remedies that, and if you think about it, it makes good sense that the digestive enzymes themselves would eat up protein.
Oh, that makes perfect sense to me. I mean, it's eating it up in your stomach. Why wouldn't it eat it up?
Yeah, exactly. And that's why so many of these sort of folk formula type ways of thinking are just based on common sense. If you think a thing through, it was sort of, which then brings us to the, you know, so many people ask me, how can I take, you know, candle wax out of this or that or the other thing?
Before you answer that question, we need to go to break. So
okay.
You're listening to Toxic Free Talk Radio. My guest today is Annie B. Bond. I'm Deborah Lynn Dadd. And when we come back, we're going to learn how to get candle wax off the tablecloth, however, whatever we need to get it off of. We'll be right back. You're listening to Toxic Free Talk Radio. I'm Deborah Lynn Dadd, and my guest today is Annie B. Bond, and we're talking about how to clean up after your holiday party. Annie, before the break, you were going to tell us about how to remove candle wax.
Well, I was just going to say that often it's, you know, just really fundamental common sense that gives us an answer for non-toxic cleaning, just like the digestive enzymes. It was not my original idea. I found it. Somebody else had thought of it, and it just rang true right? And so what a great way to get rid of candle wax is to bring out a hair dryer and melt it and warm it up, and then you can easily remove it. So just make sure that you blot the place that has it frequently, so you pull up the wax all at once. And then, of course, if you end up having a colored candle, like a red candle, after you've gotten the wax up, you sometimes are left with the dye of the candle. So my recommendation is to get there's some pure sodium percarbonate products on the market in the health food store. Some of the commercial brands have oxy in them, but they're the purest ones you can find in health food stores, and you could use that as it's an oxygen bleach, and so you can whiten things using that, and that's what I would recommend. But an iron, again, if you're blotting the fabric very carefully, an iron will melt the wax, and that's another thing you could do.
Wouldn't you put like another piece of cloth or paper or something over the top? You would put the iron directly on the candle wax.
Thank you. Yep, exactly.
So, okay.
And underneath and over it, that's I had that in my mind's eye and I just wasn't saying it. I'm sorry. But you put something underneath and over it and as the blotting when you do that. So.
Well, you're forgiven, Annie.
Thank you. Nobody could see my mind's eye, but anyways, yeah.
Oh, I could see it. Okay, so how about dish detergents?
Well, that's a good question. That's a very good question. I mean, I think that one of the themes that seems to have run through a little bit today are the issue of scents, and as an S-C-E-N-T-S. And again, I think everything from synthetically scented dryer sheets to air fresheners to detergent that you use for your dishes, everything should be free and clear. And if you use anything, something that's been has the scent of that's true aromatherapy of some sort of a pure essential oil. But let's say you've got all your guests and you put on somebody's filled one load on the dishwasher, you don't want to then be sending synthetic perfumes around in the home, and so the very first list for me would be to have something unscented, and then I would absolutely only buy something from a health food store myself, because I mean that's my recommendation. It's interesting because the laws came through about removing phosphates from dish detergents, and it was the green places like Ecovere and Seventh Generation that had been way ahead of the game, because they've been researching phosphate-free dish detergent for the longest time, and then all of a sudden all the mainstream companies were scrambling trying to have products that worked in dishwashers, and that theirs didn't without the phosphates. And so the health food store brands had already been solving the problem, and they were just way ahead of the game, and they still are, in my
opinion.
I
agree with you that they really are thinking ahead. And I'd just like to say a little word about detergent, the word detergent, because detergents can be made either out of petroleum or they can be made out of plant materials. And so I think that the difference between, the major difference between a supermarket detergent and a natural food store detergent is that the supermarket detergents, whether you're talking about a dish detergent, a dishwasher detergent, a clothes detergent, is that they're going to be synthetic detergents for the most part, and they're going to have artificial fragrance in it, very toxic. And if you go to a natural food store and buy the same type of product, it's likely that it'll be a plant-based detergent and essential oils, all of which are much safer for your health and the environment. So I used to be able to say, just as a blanket statement, just go to a natural food store and buy anything. And I'm sorry to say that I can't say that anymore, because many natural food stores have become more lax about what they carry. But it's more likely that you're going to find the product that you're looking for that's non-toxic at a natural food store. And it's worth becoming familiar with your local natural food store if you haven't already.
Yeah, absolutely.
Let's see, what else can we talk about? So we're coming up on the gift-giving season. How do you get all those stickers off of gifts?
Well, I've put this tip out there on, you know, big email lists, and it's one of the top clickers of all time for me, people clicking on it. And you simply put a dab of oil, a vegetable oil, olive oil or something you have in your kitchen, on your finger, and you rub the sticker with that, the oil, and it just will peel right off, because otherwise it's just endless amount of problems. But that works. There's something about the oil, reaching the oil of the glue, that just pulls it right off. It's really great.
Wow, that's so easy. I didn't know that. And I sit there and I try to, you know, pull it off with my fingernail. And
yeah, exactly. It goes on for half an hour and you're just like tearing your hair out. Exactly.
Wow.
Yeah, no, that works really, really well. And then you just want to wash it because of just to get the oil off. But that's easy. You could just stick something in the dishwasher if it's a glass or something, you know, so that's work. You know, something else I might suggest for that's really important when it comes to scents is candles, and making sure that you don't buy scented candles during for the holidays, but you buy, I mean, I just buy 100% beeswax candles, and that's another way that gives a beautiful fragrance. And
I just love the fragrance of beeswax candles, just that honey smell. And
I know.
Listeners have never had burned a beeswax candle. Please, please, please go buy some, because it's just so glorious, that fragrance.
Not only is it glorious, natural, but they give off negative ions, which means they help as an air cleaner as well, the burning beeswax does. And so to understand what a negative ion is versus a positive ion, if you're in an LA traffic jam, the air is full of positive ions. And a negative ions would be like if you're at the ocean and you've got crashing waves, or on the top of a mountain and the air feels just, or right before a thunderstorm, the air is just electrically wonderful. Those are negative ions, and they're incredibly good for you. And they also draw the heavy positive ions from, like, pollution, and they make them drop to the ground. And so if you burn beeswax, you also are doing a really good natural air cleaner for your home, and it's a really great thing.
It is. It is. Beeswax candles are one of my most favorite things. And you can go to my website. If you go to toxicfreetalkradio.com, and there's a search box that's just for my website, just type in beeswax candles, and I have listed at least a dozen places online where you can get really wonderful beeswax candles, some of them directly from the beekeepers. And it's a wonderful thing to have around during the holidays on your table, but also as gifts. It's just one of my favorite things, one of my very, very favorite things. So, Annie, we just have a couple minutes left. Is there anything that you'd like to say that you haven't said?
Well, I think it's just to actually inspire people to try less toxic living during this holiday season, and you get so much enjoyment out of it, and one thing leads to another, and there's a lot of pleasure having a as healthy a home as you possibly can for guests and things when they come in. And so one great way is to drop anything with a synthetic scent, just like we've been talking about, the candles and the air freshener, the laundry detergent, the dish detergent, all that kind of thing. And that alone will be a great asset to your home.
I totally agree. Have you ever asked anyone to not wear perfume?
I have. I haven't when I've had them come into my house, but I don't ask people not to wear perfume when they come in, because actually most people know me well enough that they wouldn't. But I have a very, very, very dear friend who every time I went out to dinner with her, I just was keeling over and I had to ask her, and she's never worn perfume since. Just very sweet of her, but.
I found that to be true. I do have people come over to my house and I don't say to them, don't wear perfume. But I've noticed that the people that I gravitate towards as my friends are not wearing perfume anyway.
Anyway,
because I think that nowadays, more often than in the past, that there's a lot more people who are aware of these things and want to live more simply and just, perfume, I think, is not as big of a deal as it used to be, although I don't want to minimize the fact that there's still a lot of artificial scent going on in the world that still people need to be aware and stop using. But I find that in the circles I'm in, people aren't wearing it, and I think that that's a very good thing. I also don't let people smoke in my house, I don't know anybody who smokes anymore anyway.
Yeah, right.
But, you know, it used to be an issue. I would invite people over and they'd want to smoke and I'd say no. But, you know, sometimes we have family members or things like that, and it's kind of difficult. But I would even say to a family member not to smoke in my house and expect them.
Oh, my gosh, absolutely, for everybody's sake. I've had that happen where, you know, there's the chair, Daddy.
Yeah.
She'll be outside, kind of thing.
Yeah. Okay,
we're just about done
with our time, and thank you so much.
And it's wonderful to be here, and happy holidays to everybody.
Happy holidays to you, too, and have a great Thanksgiving. I'm
Deborah
Lynn Dadd. This is Toxic Free Talk Radio, and we'll be back tomorrow.